Good morning, everybody, and welcome to First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. I'm Jason Mackey, your host as always. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd, a day from the holiday. Wishing you all a happy 4th in advance. Won't be recording one of these for tomorrow, and actually plan to talk a lot of Pirates today. We've been Penguins heavy, but was over the ballpark last night and was good to be there. You probably saw we lost our dog, Jerry. Went to the Rainbow Bridge yesterday, and it's a tough one, as many of you have been through. And so went to the ballpark and just kind of was a nice distraction. Family went as well, and we're going to get away for a couple days around the holiday. So before we do that, though, want to talk a little Pirates and where they stand. Want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. So last night's game, a lot of ins and outs. Want to get into it, as well as a column that I have on post-gazette.com. About some of the Pirates' fundamentals. We'll talk there in a second. This was maybe an off night for Mitch Keller. Certainly wasn't as good as we've seen him. Came into the game with a 9-4 ERA, 9-4 record, 3.20 ERA, but was lucky to make it through five. Wasn't his best five inning start. Six runs, five earned in their 7-4 loss. The biggest takeaway for me was just Keller having trouble putting people away, going a little deeper in pitch counts than we've seen him. And early in Mitch's career, that was a situation that got him into a lot of trouble, got him hit hard, got him in some really ugly pitching lines. But he's able to handle that. It's just it wasn't the sort of dominant outing that we've come to expect out of Mitch Keller, who still very well could make it to the All-Star game. Was 48 games of five-plus innings for him. But I don't think that's the biggest story to come out of it, just the first thing, because it's the starting pitcher. We saw good from Jack Sawinski, bad from Yasmani Grandal. Kind of curious where these two storylines go. Sawinski, three-hit night, his first since last season, 448-foot home run, teased to show all of what the Pirates believe in with Sawinski and why they keep him around and why it's become such a polarizing player among Pirates fans too. I'm not sure I go a single day without hearing via Twitter, email, whatever, about Jack Sawinski and people being frustrated. I'm not quite sure why. My best stab at it is that you can see the potential there. And I think people expect 26 home runs or, expect him to mature as a hitter, which is perfectly reasonable. I expect the same thing. It's been a disappointing year on that front for Jack. It's also kind of difficult to understand from the outside what they're doing. And I say that from a reporter's perspective, a columnist's perspective, where the guy went through struggles. They send him down. They have an injury at the major league level. He wasn't through working through those. They bring him back up. And then they stick with him through some really awful stuff. Maybe this is it. For the group that says the reporters don't ask any tough questions or anything like that. Derek Shelton was asked a couple different ways, why the heck do you have Jack Sawinski on the team yesterday pregame? And he backed a lot of what we saw, working on syncing up to the fastball, going through adjustments. It's been tough. They support Jack, blah, blah, blah. I know that's not an answer that's going to be palatable to anybody, just explaining that it was asked. An interesting thing too, post game. You've probably seen, I don't know where things stand reporting-wise. It's been tough to confirm things the other way. But Noah Hyles, after the game, reported that Joshua Palacios was coming up to the major leagues, which we believe was their intent. That move was supposed to be made. They wanted to make that move, and somewhere in there was a pivot in strategy. I don't think he's coming up here at this point. I don't know if it was tied to Sawinski or not, but it could have been. If you think about, they maybe plan to send Jack down, bring Joshua up, and after a three-hit night and seeing some progress, you adjust that strategy. I'm sure that has happened before. It's just, whether or not something gets out, it's kind of a perfect storm. Just something to follow up on. I don't think Palacios is coming up here. I think it was a false alarm or a change in what they're doing, but it's interesting that he was, the next guy up, the person they look at. So we'll see where it goes. Wanted to continue with Jack. Certainly, it's a good kid. I think there's a lot in there. I don't know how I feel about the other part of it. Yasmani Grandal, who is, it could be better, right? And I'm going to talk about what to do with that and what I think they should, how they should handle the Yasmani Grandal situation after words from our wonderful, after some words from our wonderful friends in Bradenton.
Embrace the laid-back charm of island life while sinking your toes in the sand and discovering real, authentic Florida in the Bradenton area. Unspoiled beauty and pristine beaches, a vibrant waterfront downtown energized by local arts and culture, fresh Floridian cuisine with a flourish of rich history, and friendly locals ready to welcome you to this preserved paradise on Florida's Gulf Coast. Plan your visit today at BradentonGulfIslands.com.
Once again, thank you to the Bradenton Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, our latest sponsor on First 10. But the issue at hand here is Yasmani Grandal and what the Pirates are going to do. This is tracking into like the Rowdy Tellez getting upset and screaming to DFA him territory. You really started to hear a lot of boos at PNC Park last night. His offense is very not good. At this point, grounds into the double play, actually grounded into two double plays. Would argue the defense hasn't really added a whole bunch. Catcher's interference last night. We saw the throwback to the pitcher. The defensive metrics have been, I guess, okay. But you're looking at basically a four-catcher situation when Henry Davis gets healthy. And I'm not sure Yasmani Grandal is any better than their fourth-best option. I can make an argument for giving some runway to Joey Bart. I can make an argument for playing Henry Davis, their 1-1 pick in 2021 that they have a lot invested in. I can make an argument for playing Jason DeLay, who's honestly probably been the best of the three of them, albeit in a small sample size. Defensively, he's been strong. We've heard before how much the Pirates value defense out of their catchers. Okay, well, DeLay is your best defensive option. He was starter level good last year when he played a bunch. Why is he in the minors? I don't understand then. I guess, yes, because you signed Yasmani Grandal, but that doesn't mean you need to play him in perpetuity if you're not good back there. And they haven't been good back there. They haven't been good enough. If you're going to say, well, all right, we'll live with the limited offense and we're just going to play somebody who prioritizes defense, that's fine. But Grandal's not your best defensive option. So, I mean, they're just kind of caught in between there. I don't totally understand it. Again, when Henry Davis gets back, and he's currently asymptomatic from concussions, he was at PNC Park yesterday, caught Paul Skene's bullpen, certainly wouldn't seem like he's far off. Very curious to see how they go. They're going to have a couple other guys just to finish out the injury thing. Todd Tomczyk talked yesterday. Marco Gonzalez, he's going to make another rehab start, went three innings in his last one. Ryan Baraki's pitched a couple times. He's probably a little bit ahead. David Bednar's been playing catch up to 120 feet. He'll be off the mound in the near future. Quinn Priester made another rehab start on Tuesday. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. It was earned. No walks, 6 strikeouts. So very, very good. Secondary congratulations to Bubba Chandler, Tamar Johnson. They're heading to the MLB Futures game. A cool activity there in Texas. And those guys are certainly deserving. Bubba Chandler lately has been darn good. Wouldn't be surprised if we're not far from seeing a bump up to AAA Indianapolis. Want to finish with a few NHL topics, some stuff that came out yesterday. Penguins made one move, signing Sebastian Aho, and not that Sebastian Aho. We're talking about a defenseman, 2 years, $775,000, has played 190 NHL games over 5 seasons with the Islanders. This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I don't hate what the Penguins have done to address the left side of their blue line. They've added some depth there. Believe me, they are way off with where I'd like to see them be, and I think they're probably closer to a rebuilding team than a contending team. But as far as steadying some of that, and I don't know if Sebastian Aho is part of it, I would think that Matt Grizzly can eat up some of those minutes, Marcus Pettersson. But one of the fascinating things I think about, and this is relative to the left side of their blue line and probably balances out on the right, what happens in year two with defensemen, and why do things seem to take a year? Think about Sergei Gonchar. Think about Paul Martin. Those guys came in here and weren't great immediately. It took an adjustment period. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Ryan Graves. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Erik Karlsson. Certainly hope so. And I hope the Penguins aren't done as well. Another thing I want to see from them, they have $3.5 million left in projected cap space. Their roster cannot be finished. I talked about this a little bit the other day, but I think it only intensifies as guys are out there and kind of looking for that last chair somewhere to sit down. Need a winger. Need a left side winger. Need somebody to play, hopefully with Sid, if the Drew O'Connor thing doesn't work out. Don't have a lot to get, but they can offer some playing time and some power play time. I posited earlier that Vladimir Tarasenko would be interesting to me, and that's somebody with, you know, he's played a little bit of the left side. He's more right wing. But they have some guys who are flexible. If you need to move Merkel, if you need to move Brian Rust, like it has happened before. And so yeah, they have a lot of guys who can, if need be, move to the other side. Weird NHL schedule. Check that out. Matt Bensel wrote about that. Some really long trips and some heavy travel before Veterans Day there. My general feeling with schedules is, you know, they're going to have one. So there's no sense in getting too wrapped up in it. But I was a lot of longer road trips for the Penguins. It almost looked like a baseball schedule at times, and a lot of travel stuff early, a lot of difficult stuff early, frankly. So the Penguins are going to have an opportunity to sink or swim right out of the chute, it seems like. All right. Thank you for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content from me and our other Post-Gazette writers and columnists at all times. Happy 4th. Won't be here for that, but I will talk to you after that. And yeah, see you back here. Same time, same place.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.